Well, gerrymandering is the act of redrawing district lines to benefit some voters and disenfranchise others, oftentimes racial gerrymandering, which has been declared unconstitutional, sometimes partisan gerrymandering to benefit one party over the other. Supreme Court will likely decide sometime soon, perhaps even this year, if that's unconstitutional as well. It's a widespread practice that goes back decades and centuries. But the debate has been heating up recently. There's a case that's moving through North Carolina, several cases challenging our district lines on racial grounds, one challenging our district lines on partisan gerrymandering grounds that is still making its way through the courts. There's another partisan gerrymandering case coming down from Wisconsin. With all of that in mind, David Daly is the former editor-in-chief at Salon.com. He's also a former UNC student. He graduated from the journalism school, got his grad degree here. And he is the author of a new book on gerrymandering and specifically about how Republicans worked behind the scenes to gerrymander district lines across the country up through and following the election and the census of 2010. The book has a title I'm not allowed to say on the air, but David Daly joins us now here on the phone. David, thanks for being here.
Hey, Aaron. Real pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us about the book.
Well, what really interested me was in 2012, Barack Obama gets reelected. The Democrats take the U.S. Senate, but Republicans hold the 234-201 majority in the U.S. House despite receiving 1.4 million fewer votes. That kind of thing doesn't happen very often. And I said, what happened here? Mm-hmm. And I went back and discovered that there was a concerted effort by the Republican Party and some really brilliant strategists at something called the Republican State Leadership Committee. And they used redistricting, the oldest trick in the political book, in a really, really devious and interesting new way during the 2010 election. They set out to flip state legislative chambers, which don't cost all that much money to do. You throw a couple hundred thousand dollars into a state house race, a state senate race. But if you can do that, if you can flip enough state legislative chambers, you control not only the drawing of district lines in those states, but those legislatures draw congressional lines as well. And the technology gets so good by 2010 to 2011, the kinds of data that they have to draw these lines, so much more substantial than any time in the past, that it explains a lot about how we have a country that is so closely divided 50-50 on politics, but Republicans have not only all the power in Washington, but a lot of power in the states as well. 69 of 99 state legislative chambers under Republican control. Gerrymandering is a huge reason why.
And what is the scope of the problem today versus before? Because gerrymandering is a thing that goes back to really the 18th, early 19th century. It's named after James Madison's vice president, so it goes back that far. What is the scope of the problem today versus 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and beyond?
As long as politicians have the power to draw their own lines, they will use it. So it doesn't matter if these are the founders of the country or anybody else. If you give politicians a pen and say, pick your own voters, they will do it. The amazing thing now, though, is that the technology has gotten so good that when they draw these lines, they know exactly what the partisan performance of these districts will be. In the past, even as recent as the 1990s, as the 2000s, gerrymanders have backfired on political parties. They have worked for 2 years, maybe 4 years, but then the electorate changes. The trouble now is that these gerrymanders are so precise that they've insulated politicians from the ballot box, and they've made it so the only elections that truly matter are the partisan primaries, and those are the people who are a much more extreme part of the base. We've driven centrists and moderates out of both parties. We've made our general elections non-competitive. We've gotten to the point that in North Carolina in the last cycle in 2016, 57 of your 120 state assembly races had no major party competition. This is because people take one look at these district lines and say, I can't win these races. So you don't have any choice. When your only choice comes in a partisan primary, you get a different kind of legislator. You end up with a different kind of politics, as you see right now in Raleigh, the kinds of legislation coming out there. And as you see in Washington, there is less compromise. There's less talking. There's less dialogue. No one has to persuade anybody anymore of anything. And all that matters in politics.
Speaking with David Daley, who is, again, former editor-in-chief at Salon, UNC alum, and the author of a book, which the title goes back to the Nixon era, right? Am I right about that?
Indeed. Yeah. It is an old term for political sabotage that goes back to the Watergate era, but also has its roots in redistricting as well.
So, who did you speak to in terms of researching this book, in terms of developing the narrative? Who did you talk to, and what did you find that surprised even you when you started the project?
Boy, you know, the genius behind this project is a political strategist named Chris Jankowski, who works out at Richmond, Virginia. He was the executive director of the Republican State Leadership Committee. It's his brainchild. And I spent a lot of time with him. He's a really, really interesting and smart guy. What amazed me really was two things. First is that this entire project only costs $30 million, which is nothing in politics. This is essentially Moneyball of politics, in the same way that, you know, Billy Dean of the Oakland A's comes up with the loophole that allows a small market baseball team to win. This is building in long-lasting control by exploiting a loophole in politics as a way that state legislatures also draw congressional lines. And then the amazing thing to me is just how effective it's been in state after state after state, and how enduring it's been in all of these states. So it's not only in North Carolina where the gerrymander has been so effective, but in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Ohio, in Pennsylvania. These are essentially bluish-purplish states, but their state legislatures and their congressional delegations are bright red. In Pennsylvania, it's an 18-person congressional delegation. It's 13-5 Republican. In Ohio, it's 12-4 Republican. In Michigan, it's 9-5. North Carolina is now 10-3, and these numbers have not budged. You've had really interesting elections in this decade. 2010 is a big Republican year. 2012 is a big Democratic year. 2014 swings back to the Republicans. 2016 is kind of a wash. It goes in all kinds of different and unexpected directions. But these state legislatures haven't budged, and the makeup of the congressional delegations in these states haven't budged. There is no swing anymore in our politics. And when there's no swing, when our politicians are insulated from the ballot box, it becomes really, really dangerous for democracy.
And this is the thing that I know we just had UNC professor Andrew Reynolds, who made the argument about North Carolina that went viral worldwide, that North Carolina is not a democracy anymore. This is the specific thing that he was talking about, that the way the district lines are drawn make it so that our elections are the outcome is a done deal before the campaign even begins. And this is what's happening across the country. And it's not even necessarily surreptitious. Like, a lot of this is happening behind the scenes. But the person that you talked to, Corey Jankowski, was that his name?
Yes.
He spoke to you, right? What does he think about the book now that it's out?
Oh, you know, I mean, I've just sat down with him again for the paperback version of the book, which will be out in July. So we have a good relationship. He's a very smart strategist and a true believer in his party. And he executed a plan that really had been sitting there in plain sight for years, but that nobody had had the vision and the foresight to actually enact. I think it's had dangerous consequences for our politics. We're already very partisan and very polarized, and when you gerrymander these districts, it sort of acts as an accelerant, and it makes our politics more dysfunctional, more broken, and harder for voters to control at the ballot box. And, you know, I think that, there have been a lot of really, really negative consequences of what happened. But you certainly can't deny the brilliance and the effectiveness of what they did. I also think it's fairly anti-democratic, a small d democratic, not big D.
Is it unconstitutional, though? We've got this case that's going through in Wisconsin, first of all, and then there's another similar case that's sort of earlier in the judicial process here in North Carolina, challenging gerrymandering on partisan grounds. And so far, the Supreme Court hasn't ever ruled that partisan gerrymandering is unconstitutional. One of the reasons they haven't done that is because they don't really have a formula for determining how much is too much. And you mentioned how very specific and precise and effective the technology has gotten for determining how a district is going to go. That technology is now also starting to be used the other way by the people who are bringing these challenges, saying, okay, now we've got a formula for how much gerrymandering is too much. So the Supreme Court is starting to think about this again in the way that maybe they haven't before. Where do you think all that's going to wind up?
You are exactly right. The Supreme Court has never before weighed in on a partisan gerrymander and said that is too far. They have said that drawing district lines is the job of politicians. So we're going to leave it up to them. I would say that it's too important and to allow somebody as self-interested in the process as politicians to be allowed to control it. But the courts have been nervous about it. They don't want to get in the district in the business of saying, yeah, this line ought to be here, that line ought to be there, which is certainly understandable. In the last decade, there was a case out of Pennsylvania and a case out of Texas on partisan gerrymandering, neither of which the court endorsed. Mm-hmm. But Justice Kennedy says, I'm open to a standard if somebody can actually show me a standard. So that, you know, set loose a lot of political science professors and law professors and stats geeks and gerrymandering nerds trying to come up with a formula that would show when a state has gone too far. And the one that is coming out of Wisconsin right now is a case called Whitford versus Gill. It's called the efficiency gap. And essentially the efficiency gap is designed to measure the number of intentionally wasted votes by a legislature, and when that number crosses a certain percentage point, then you can say that a partisan gerrymander has gone too far. It has made its way through all the circuit courts and is on a collision course with the Supreme Court right now. If Justice Kennedy buys into this theory, we would at least have a bright red line that said legislatures cannot cross this. Mm-hmm. It would certainly be more fair. It would be great to have a standard of some kind. I think the court is beginning to realize that all of this technology makes partisan gerrymandering so much more pernicious that it's becoming time for them to weigh in and endorse some kind of a standard.
With or without the Supreme Court weighing in, what needs to happen? What do states need to do to fix this?
Boy, it is going to be really, really hard to undo. If the courts don't weigh in and fix it, then really it becomes a political fight. The Democrats right now, who fell asleep in 2010 and really slumbered, are trying to fight back on their own. You've got President Obama and his former Attorney General, Eric Holder, who are running something called the National Democratic Redistricting Commission. They are attempting to try to swing chambers back the other way, but that is not real reform. That just makes our politics more expensive, more negative, more toxic, all the way down to the district level. I mean, if all of our local elections end up becoming a fight over districting with 10-year, decade-long ramifications, that is not where we want our politics to go. Many states have passed a referendum or an initiative trying to move districting to an independent commission. In North Carolina, that's not possible. Legislators there have said that they're not interested in allowing voters that right. There is a reform bill that's moving its way through in North Carolina right now that actually a couple of Republicans have proposed that would create a commission of some sorts. Remains to be seen how well that bill does and whether the party's leadership will sign on to it. But I think that there is some awareness within the Republican Party that maybe this last round of gerrymandering went a little bit too far, that maybe they lost control of things a little bit. And what you sometimes see is when the business community in a state, which tends to be more Republican, says, okay, we have to dial this back a little bit, is when the Republicans come back to the center a little bit on questions like districting. It happened that way in Arizona, for example. And it's possible now that, you know, some of the blowback on things like the transgender bathroom bill or some of the other things that have had the business ramifications as far as the NCAA leaving the state or Bruce Springsteen or companies not wanting to, you know, hire workers, create the environment for reform.
Speaking with David Daly, the book is called Rat Bleeped. Will we go with that on the radio? The true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. Google it. David Daly, if you just Google his name, D-A-L-E-Y, it'll come right up. You can find out more. Is there a good place to go online to find out more about the book or the issue?
You can find it on Amazon. There is actually a really good sale going on it right now on Amazon. And I've written a lot about this on Salon, on New York Magazine. So if you Google me, a lot of those pieces come up as well.
All right. David Daly, the book is Rat Bleeped, the true story behind the secret plan to steal America's democracy. Get on Amazon and find it. David, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Go Heels this week.